In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to tell you, I 2 years ago, when this set of readings came out in our lectionary, I was at St. James in Minneapolis, and I was scheduled to do a baptism for two girls who, wonder of wonders, didn't need to have the rector do it because they didn't know the rector. His mother had grown up in the parish, and it was the church, not the particular clergy that mattered. So it was fine that I did. But we generally observe baptisms for certain times in the liturgical year, and I found out why. You may or may not know there are two tracts of readings in the summer. So my choice on this week that we were going to have children there and be baptizing children for the Old Testament reading were what we read today, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the alternative is the front book of Hosea, which refers to the son of Korah. Okay then. Yeah, sometimes you win the homiletical lottery and sometimes not. It was just too good a joke. So, in that case, I ignored it completely and preached on baptism. Today, I'm going to ignore it again completely and talk about the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And the reason I'm talking about it is the best known Christian prayer ever. It's in both Matthew and Luke. Our services use the version from Matthew, so the order of the day may be a little different. In our daily office, in the Book of Common Prayer, it's used at every single service. That's 4 times a day. And once more, if you have universal times. Now, I was talking with a friend of mine who's also a priest, and we were thinking, we didn't look it up, but we would think that the only service in the Book of Common Prayer it's not used in is a reconciliation of penitence. Confession. That's it. It's used everywhere else. We use it all the time. Adults know it. Children know it. Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Evangelicals, non-denominationals, all kinds of people know the Lord's Prayer. Dying people. People with dementia. People who are sedated so they won't fight the ventilator. Still try to participate. People whose first language is in English. Recognize it in English. People who have for 50 years knocked on church know the Lord's Prayer. Often folks try to participate even when they're otherwise unable to respond or interact. Once when I was in hospital chaplaincy training, I visited the room of a youngish man, 35, 40, who was dying of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. He had decided to forego the extreme measures. His family was all there, and you never know, but it didn't seem like he was going to die that day. Probably soon, but not like right now. So the family and I said some prayers, and we ended up with the Lord's Prayer. And when we got to the park to deliver us from evil, he stopped. Another time I visited brand new parents whose tiny, tiny baby needed a bit more of medical support, so they were in hospital for longer than usual. They spoke almost no English, and my Spanish is about as bad as their English. But they wanted a blessing from Lord Reverenda. So I prayed for them and their baby, and when I started to be our father, they joined me in Spanish. It's really interesting that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. stolen from the heart. It said to me, neither wrote the recitation. And you know, truth be told, there are an awful lot of folks, church going folks, even some clergy, who really don't pray much except in church. And sometimes that's because they think it's too hard, or that it's for especially holy people, or they don't know how, what techniques, or they don't feel like they have time, or they don't feel like they need to when everything's going okay, or even that they don't need to because that's what we pay the clergy for. In the Middle Ages, it would have been that's what we would get out of the monastery for. Now, prayer is something everybody can do, ought to do, and in fact does do. It's actually quite simple to do. Now, notice I said simple, not easy. Jesus gives us an example in Luke's account. He's always going off to pray, especially before something important happens. And in today's gospel, he gives us an example, kind of template. When you pray, do so like this. Father, naming the one on whom you can rely. Kind of like Jesus' explanation story about the guy with the unexpected visitors at midnight who needs some bread in order to offer them hospitality. And hospitality was an unbreakable duty in the ancient world. You had to do that. So he asks his friend to help out. But the guy's already gone to bed and he breaks a bit. But ultimately, he can be relied on to help out simply because he's his friend. So first, meaning the relationship, Father, the one who is reliable, and who cares for us. After all, even if our fallible friends will help us out after a little break, how much more will God? Next comes, hallowed be your name. God generally does the blessing that's around to be done. But here, we are to bless God. And then, your kingdom come. And these are both what prayer people call performative statements. They do what they say. So we acknowledge and claim a relationship with God, we bless God, and we state our desire for God's kingdom to come now. That's the part that's kind of not so easy, because do we really want things the way God's kingdom describes them? Where the last are first, where the marginalized are the center of attention. Kind of hard sell sometimes. So we acknowledge and claim that relationship with God, bless God, state our desire for God's kingdom to come now. And then comes, give us today, or perhaps it's for today, or maybe it's every day, our bread. We ask for what we need. Simple essentials. Not what we want, but we need. There's a difference. And forgive us comes next. Now agree to get picky about it. It's in the imperative form. It's telling God what to do. It's claiming that forgiveness that's already on offer. And we say, as we forgive, and that's not conditional. It's not if, only if, then. It's something we do again and again and again. We forgive others. And they're related, not cause and effect. If you don't forgive others, it's pretty difficult, if not impossible, to really accept being forgiven. You know, you just don't quite know what it is. You can't do it. In our version, we say, do not, or in the version we are today, do not bring us to the time of trial. Now, our traditional Elizabethan English version of the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation. And that's a problem because languages shift over time, and it really kind of gives the wrong idea in modern English. It means, like the original Greek says in the modern translation, say something like, preserve us from that which might challenge and harm our faith. Remember, the early Christians were subject to persecution. And the easiest way out of persecution was to apostatize, to recant. So we pray that we don't come to that kind of difficult decision. Jesus gives us a really simple template of prayer. But It's not so easy to do as anybody who's been one. You have to tend to it. For instance, you have to pay attention to your partner, even if you're busy or tired or you're really not traveling to do something else. And you have to tend to that relationship all the time, not just at the wedding or on anniversaries or if you're feeling especially close or if you're a big decision maker. But all the time, even in the boring times. Just because that's how relationships are nurtured. That's what love is. Giving of oneself in regular and frequent time and attention. You know, the same is true of a relationship with God. Regular and frequent time and attention. Not the best words, not the most saintly practices. Simple, straightforward prayer, like Jesus taught his disciples. Dr. Andy Luhanoff, who's a professor of psychiatry and religion emerita at Union Theological Seminary in New York, wrote a book with her late husband Barry Luhanoff titled Primary Speech, A Psychology of Prayer. Dr. Luhanoff believes that prayer is where we discover our most basic feelings, wishes, terrors, pains, or pleasures. Sometimes the kinds of things that we can't even put words to, and that we wouldn't dare put words to with another human being. It's in this intimate, even beyond words, relationship with God that we each find our true selves. Simply forgiving.